Wow. Welcome to episode 9 of the bonus season of the Micro Budget Independent Filmmakers Podcast. I'm your host, Zaina Thyrus, here with my co-host from Minorities in Film, Brittany Franklin. Hey, Brittany.
Hi, cue audience clap. Yeah.
Today's episode, I'm excited about. I'm very excited about this one. We are talking about filming in an Airbnb.
Yes.
One of the biggest micro budget hacks, I think.
The hugest.
Yeah. Of micro budget indie filmmaking. We're going to be covering the process of filming in an Airbnb. You know, what are some of the biggest benefits and some of the perks of filming in an Airbnb? But we're also going to be covering the rules, things that you need to keep in mind before you book, after you book, and when you're checking out of the location. Both Brittany and I have filmed in Airbnbs on numerous occasions. Most of my films in my portfolio are filmed in an Airbnb, and I have learned a lot over the last few years, but I think Airbnb is an incredible resource for independent filmmakers. Locations are everything. Locations are a character in and of themselves. So let's just dive right in.
Let's go.
The process of filming in an Airbnb. Before we get into the overall process, let's talk about the benefits of it. Yes. What are, like, why film in an Airbnb? Why should this be top of mind for micro-budget indie filmmakers?
Well, I'll start first. I remember when Airbnb came on the map and it was just this thing and you had houses and people were hosting and you got to see inside of other people's homes, how they decorated it, what was in there, the couches, the sofas. For me, as a creative, that sparks so much inspiration for other stories or how I can tie in stories I had ideas for but didn't have this setting for. So I felt like it was the easiest, cheapest location manager I could have at the time. And now, I don't know how many years later, Airbnb has so many quintessential homes, so many unique niches homes that is inspiring some of my stories. So now I can look at a space and say, ooh, I see a story here. And guess what? It exists.
Yep. Yep. That's one of the biggest benefits, is that it's already set dressed. You are walking into a lived in styled home with furniture, furnishings, vases, couches, drapes, kitchenware that really can elevate your story. And there can be a lot of money spent on decorating a soundstage. Mm-hmm. You know, soundstages are how Hollywood, you know, does all of their film sets. They shoot on a stage if they're not shooting on location. And you go into a stage that might just have like the basics, but you have to really go in and decorate and you have to really go in and buy a bunch of props and dress the space. Whereas again, with Airbnb, it's like your set design is already done. That is the hugest benefit.
It's the biggest. And then if you're looking at what you're going to see on the frame.
Yep.
Right. And that's like eye candy. Yep. And it brings so much personality. And I can't, you know, stress it enough how much it just saves so much time, but also can help elevate the overall look and production quality, knowing that the character, which is your location, is already set and ready to go. I mean, there's pitfalls to that, we'll get to it, but that's my number one. It's already dressed.
Absolutely. The second biggest benefit of filming in an Airbnb as a micro-budget independent filmmaker is that the spaces can be so versatile. I shoot most of my films in one single location, maybe two, but majority of my films are in one location, and it's really cool to have the kitchen as one scene and then be able to film in like the office space. I've booked houses where it looks like there's two different locations, but we're on the same set. Mm-hmm. You know, you film upstairs and the character's on a phone call and the other person who's in their quote unquote other house is downstairs in the kitchen, but it looks like they're in two completely different places. They're completely versatile. You can even though it already comes set dressed, you could do a lot with stylizing that particular location. Because again, it's a home. It's not like a soundstage where things are fixed. It's malleable, it's versatile. It also is a great place for like the crew staying on location if they're traveling in from out of town. On my last film, New Santa, shameless plug, streaming on Tubi, but it was filmed in an Airbnb in Lithonia, Georgia. And I traveled in from Chicago. My DP traveled in from Toronto. And then my camera operator was from very far out and in Atlanta as well. And then my co-producer was also pretty far out in Atlanta, and my art director was in Chicago as well. So we had a 5-bedroom Airbnb and we all stayed at the location overnight. And that was even more incredible because all of the set dressing and all of the equipment could also stay there overnight. The next day was so easy because everything was already set, everything was already prepped, and we kind of just were able to roll out of bed and just start shooting again. It was
crazy. I mean, that's so amazing. And I think we hear this all the time for independent filmmakers, and it just goes back to efficiencies. Pick a story that you can shoot in the location. I mean, that's kind of the easiest, most cost-efficient, and sometimes the most impactful decision we can make for our stories. So with that being said, why not choose a location that can double as multiple set or story locations, right? And I'm personally one of those people where I feel like I like being in the same location of the, you know, above the line crew when we're on production. Call it what you want. I mean, it has like this hostel vibe where you're like, okay, what do you want for breakfast? Oh, you got allergies. It's another way for us to kind of softly talk about the work without it feeling like work. You know, because we have time to be humans together, then go right into shooting, welcome the rest of the crew. We've spent time together. How we are with each other sets the vibe for the rest of the production. So when we're in an Airbnb, it really feels like, okay, we're looking out for each other, we're getting to know each other, but we're taking care of each other, and we're all here for a united purpose, which is this film. Yes. It's so nice.
That is such a fantastic point, because that's exactly what it felt like when me and all of my above the line crew were staying in that Airbnb. It felt like we were like on a vacation. Like it was like a friend's trip. In a cabin, we were all just hanging out, woke up, breakfast, to your point, welcoming the crew. When they arrived, it was like they all pulled up to the house, like, hey, what's up? It was just, it was such a good vibe. There were so many times where it did not feel like we were on set. It just really felt like I was making art with my friends. It was that homey feel that I think Airbnbs provide, because you are in somebody's home.
Yes. You know? You have the personality of the person. I know Minorities in Film, our main logo is like making dope shit with our friends.
Yep.
And as indie filmmakers, we have the opportunity to really keep that energy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, Airbnb is a vibe, but we got more.
We do. I think that's a beautiful way to like start the conversation. Just talking about, you know, those benefits, the versatility, the set already being dressed, the camaraderie that can come along with it. But let's get into the rules of filming in an Airbnb, because there are rules before you book, after you book, and while checking out that we're going to provide in this episode's workbook. You can get that at microbudgetfilmpodcast.com. You click bonus season guides. The Airbnb, filming in an Airbnb workbook will be available. It's going to have all of these tips in there. But let's start with before you book. Let's start with before you book. I cannot stress this enough. You have to be transparent with the location owner. You have to be transparent with the location owner before you hit that booking button on Airbnb. You have to reach out to them. There's an option on Airbnb where it says message the host. You don't book the location and then tell them after as an FYI. You message the host before you even book. Let's just say you find the perfect house that fits your script amazing. You go directly to message the host. And here's what you have ready. You introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Zaina. I'm an independent filmmaker from Chicago. I'm shooting a film that takes place in one location, and your location would be perfect. You want to give them a soft description of the film. Because again, if it's a fight scene, if it's something that's going to cause a lot of ruckus, if it's a horror film that has a lot of fake blood and they have white carpet, they need to know these things, right? So I let them know, hey, you know, I'm shooting a film that takes place in one living room. For example, New Santa all took place in one living room area. It is mostly seated. There's going to be, you know, this amount of actors and this amount of crew, and we have production insurance. Those are the biggest things you want to tell them. The script description, how many people are going to be in their house. And if that's 30 people, they need to know that. If it's 10 people, they need to know that. And then the fact that you have location insurance, which is crucial, you can add their location to the insurance policy. Those are the first things that I tell people when I reach out. I also link my website so they can see my previous work, and I wait for them to get back to me. And being this transparent has served me so well. I've gotten way more yeses than nos.
Yeah, and I feel like if you are a first-time filmmaker, nervous about engaging a location owner in Airbnb, don't be. I mean, you know, you have to give all the information you want because you're looking out for the overall tone of your production so that you can get it done. The worst thing you'd want to happen is to not do these things. Mm-hmm. Book, show up loading in a whole cargo van of equipment with 5 to 10 people coming in, and the location owner sees you and is like, excuse me, what is happening here? We only have a minimum capacity of 5 people. There's 10. You have to charge me more money, or have to charge you more per person. Or you have to cancel this booking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through that. Like,
No. Transparency and honesty is always the best policy. There are location owners that are like, oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being open and honest. That sounds great. You know, here's the address that you can add to your insurance policy. Please send it to this email. You know, let me know how I can assist. I've even had location owners say, I'm an actor too. Here's my headshot. Like, they're really excited. I've also had location owners flat out tell me no. And sometimes they'll give a reason. Sometimes they'll say, I've had a location owner say to me on Airbnb, you know, love the project, would love to support, but we've had really bad experiences with filmmakers who came in and like either broke things or they did not tell us that they were filming, and we can't go through that again. Other people just are like, no, I don't want a film crew in my house. Like, I don't want that. And that's their right. That is their right as well. But first and foremost, before you book any Airbnb, you have to be fully transparent. You have to reach out to the location owner and give them that script description, the amount of crew, and let them know that you have that insurance policy.
100%. 100%. I mean, there's no ands, if, or buts about it. It's just how you go about it. Even if you were asking a friend to shoot in their apartment, you would want to give them as much information as possible to make sure their space is available, to make sure that they move any personal items, to make sure that any things that are really expensive are out of harm's way. And so do the same courtesy with these space owners, because at the end of the day, they are people who are giving up most of the time their personal homes, sometimes their investment homes. I mean, that's between them, but their own property at risk to you. And in my experiences, what I love to do, because I am an avid traveler on top of that, I usually travel and book a little weekend stay for vacation at the location. That is what I call my pre-scout, where I'm just sitting there, I'm vibing out. I'm trying to see, is it really the space that I want to shoot in, especially with the kind of content that I make is a lot of docu or drama lifestyle. So I want to see what the vibe is from morning to night in that location before I actually shoot. And everybody has that opportunity, but I take it as like a little mini vacation.
That's smart.
Then, I say, I develop a rapport with the owner, and I'm even looking through some of my messages, and one of the location owners was really happy to have us there. He was like, you know, there's burritos, there's best burritos in town. I was like, oh, wow, there's burritos. He's like, just checking in. Are you cold? Because it usually gets cold around this time. And that's like really my time to get to know the location owner. And then after that, I kind of do a little like review, a video review of my stay that I might share a TikTok or whatever and share with them. And then they'll say, oh, wow, this is really good. If you ever want to come back and do something. And then I was like, you know what? I'll keep you up on that. Because I am a filmmaker and I really was inspired by your space. So the next time I go to them, they're already open and welcoming and excited to see what I'm going to create. And that's if you do not have a portfolio that you want to share. Like maybe you're just a content creator, maybe you just make great content for people. Yeah. That's another option.
That is actually a really great like alternative. You know, the very first rule of thumb, the being transparent, if you are a seasoned filmmaker, if this is your like second, third, fourth film, fourth rodeo, you know, reaching out with that script description, the number of crew, insurance, all of that. But if you are someone who is making a film for the first time, you know, booking an Airbnb stay and really, to Brittany's point, like really building that rapport with the location owner so that they trust you. And you can say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about doing this thing. You trust me. You know, can I come back with a crew of five or six people and we make a movie here? And there, if you've already got a leg in because they already know you. You know, they've already experienced the type of tenant you are in their space.
Exactly. It's a shameless plug. It's all about building relationships, right? In this industry. And we can build relationships by building community. And, you know, a little hot tip, now that Airbnb is big, you'll see a lot of location owners being property managers, and they have like a whole suite or portfolio of locations. So especially that I film internationally, I like building that rapport because most often than not, they have another space that, or they manage another space that is new or might be on the market or is quintessential to some specific unique design. So that's why I say, you know,
build those relationships.
Yeah.
Build those relationships. So another point before you book, outside of being transparent, outside of being very honest, another really important thing that you need to do is scout the location.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, booked Airbnbs, gotten the approval of the location owners, you know, for the script, the amount of crew, the insurance, all that was great, booked it, paid the money, and then got to the location and the pictures did not do it justice.
No.
The pictures, the space was like a fourth of what we thought it was going to be. It was so small compared to the pictures because, you know, on Airbnb and on any sort of, you know, site where they are marketing a location, they want to make it look grand and spacious and incredible. And that was just not the case in person. So before you actually book, you know, once the location owner is like, oh yeah, it's perfectly fine if you film here, great. Would you mind if we did a scout and just came in and scoped out the place to make sure, you know, that it works for our lighting setups, that it works for, you know, the spacing wise. A lot of times they say yes. If it's out of state and I'm unable to, what I'll ask is that they send videos. Yeah. Do a video walkthrough, because a video walkthrough is going to be really accurate in terms of space in a way that like a photo that's manipulated cannot.
Exactly. And you know, that's a great point you make, Zana, because it expands off of, you know, my initial note when I was shooting in 2016. I was like, let me go stay. But I continued that even when during the pandemic and I wasn't producing anything, but I still was vacating, going, taking trips. One of the spaces that I went in Colorado was, you know, they couldn't give me a video, fine, but I was already going for a film festival, but I knew Colorado has a lot of tax incentives for filmmakers. Right. So it was a space in my mind, a location in my mind that I was like, I'm going to film a story that I have someday here. So let me just do all of this in one. When I went to this space, let me tell you, I love it on Airbnb. It was great. It was a yellow interior, yellow walls. And I'm like, this is cute. But we stayed there for a week. And we were like, this yellow is not giving. It's not going to look good on camera. It's not, it, there's not enough windows in the yellow. After some time, the eye sees it more as mustard. It would have needed a lot of lighting, and even it was a takeaway that would not look good for the film. And so even though you see something that's unique, in my case, online, and then you go and you're like, this is not working.
And you would not know that unless you went there and actually saw it for yourself, right? Like, imagine if you had booked the location and then you pulled up with your film crew and it's like, this is not what we envisioned, right? So before you book, being transparent, letting them know, yes, you are filming. Here's the script description. Here's the amount of crew, insurance. Scout the location. If you are unable to actually physically go to the location, request a video. Request a video recording. Have them do an entire walkthrough. For New Santa, in the house in Lithonia, Georgia that I booked, we asked her to do an entire walkthrough starting from the door of the entire space. She gave us a 360 view. And that was great because we saw where the door was in relation to the staircase, where the kitchen was in relation to the living room. Like, we saw the setup instead of those broken out individual photos. And that helped us do our like blocking and mapping. Because I'm in Chicago, my DP is in Toronto. We're not actually on the ground, you know, and we couldn't actually go there physically in person. But that was crucial. That was imperative. So virtual scout or in-person scout, imperative. We've already touched on this third point, but I'm going to say it again. You have to get location insurance.
Please, please.
It's non-negotiable. You have to, because you never know what will happen. I had things catch on fire on set before, like putting a blanket over a fill light just to kind of like.
Oh, the common mistake.
Yes. Yes, and that lit on fire. We've had stains, we've had glassware break, and we weren't doing anything rambunctious. It just was, you know, when you have a bunch of people and you have heavy equipment and you have tripods that might scrape a wall, or these things just happen when you are filming. They just happen when you're filming. And you need to protect your crew. You need to protect yourself. So having location insurance and writing the location owner's address into your policy and making sure that their location is fully insured against any equipment, property damage, or property damage caused by equipment or crew or whatever that may be, it's vital, because that couple hundred dollar insurance policy might save you thousands.
Honestly, and I think that's one of the things that people are more scared about when they get location insurance. It's not as expensive as you think. You know, the standard coverage, I believe, is at least $1 million for damages. Sometimes it go from 1 to 3. Yep. And it depends on, one, the location. Like, if you're filming in an Airbnb or a place that's maybe inside of a townhouse, or it's connected to a bigger, you know, company, then they definitely require for you to have insurance before you even load things through the door. Yep. And for homeowners, there's a lot of things they put into the construction and then the maintenance of the space. So you kind of want to check into to see what insurance policy or what coverage will be best based on what's inside the place. If you're filming in a place that has glass ceilings and they have a baby grand piano in the middle of the open floor plan lobby, I mean, you might want to adjust your coverage. So all of these, although tedious, it is so important. And at least $100, some go up to $500. I don't think I've ever spent more than $600 on location insurance on my production.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have an annual policy. My annual policy is only $250. It's very specific to short films and documentary filmmaking, but it does cover up to $1 million in damages. It does not cover personal injury, but it covers location and equipment damage. So if anything happens to the cameras, lights, gear, anything like that, if anything happens to the location, it's fully covered. and it's $250 a year. So that's with as many, if I make 10 films a year,
still,
they're still covered.
That's amazing. And you look into different insurance coverages and different production insurance before you actually opt in for a plan. But, you know, find what's right for you. The point is, once you have it, once you have the COI, which yep. is a document that you get, you can send it over to the location manager or property owner. And it's easy peasy.
Very easy. You're good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for also saying the term, the jargon, COI. That is Certificate of Insurance. So when you get an insurance policy, you'll get a certificate of insurance that you can add the location to. And you can give that PDF to the location owner on Airbnb. So that is critical. And then the last thing that you want to do before you book, remember, this is before you hit book, before you pay any money, before you confirm this location. You have to ask the location owner, what can be moved? What can be changed? How malleable is their location? I have worked with location owners who were like, take pictures off the wall, move the couches. This place is your place. Have at it. There are other location owners that are like, every single thing has to stay in the exact same place. You cannot move as much as a dining table. It has to stay. Mm. And that would not work for us, because we had a lot of things to move just to accommodate the equipment, just to accommodate building a dolly, just to accommodate, you know, like scene setups, whatever that might be. So before you pay money and book this location, yes, you have to be transparent and give them all the details that they need about the shoot. Yes, you got to scout, and yes, you have to have location insurance. But if you get to this final point and are like, okay, we're ready to book, but we want to also know like, what can be moved, and they say nothing, you need to start scouting another location.
Yeah, please do. And you can assign someone to do this, or if you have someone that is your general production designer that's in charge of the set design, the wardrobe, hair and makeup, whatever, that person can keep a list of props or things, styling that can or cannot be moved. I had this happen to me so many times, and especially in New York, there's this one space, it's a very popular space, it does fashion shows, whatever, but the homeowner has a room that stores glass and marble dolls and antiques. Mm-hmm. This is a nice museum style room, like you could walk into it, it's mirrored, but in that room, you cannot move anything. You cannot touch anything. There's a limit to how many people can go in that room at one time. And it's the main room that you have to kind of pass in order to get to the other spaces. And so we're like, you know what, that's not going to work because, and I'm getting down to the nitty gritty, but you know, the DP was like, the door is only like 5 feet in length. And then the equipment we're bringing in is 5 by whatever. And so this is going to be really tight. And we have 4 people moving this, and just loading in is going to be tooth and nail. And it's going to take forever. Maybe not. Maybe not.
And it's too stressful. It's too stressful. Like, you have to also, yes, it's great that these Airbnb owners are allowing you into their space to film, but you have to book a location that is only going to truly work mm-hmm. for your film, for your crew, for your story. It has to be right. You can't make the compromise that's going to prolong your shoots or cause stress for your team or going to alter your story in mm-hmm. a way that's going to not give you the end result that you want.
Yeah.
So that's critical. It's absolutely critical. So those are the things that you have to keep in mind and the things that you absolutely have to handle before you even book. And remember, we're going to put all this information in our workbook for this episode about filming in an Airbnb. But let's talk about after you book. So let's assume all is well. They approved the script and story, the amount of crew, you got the insurance, you did the walkthrough, they gave you a virtual video. It's perfect. They said you can move everything. Great. We've booked the location. So what happens once you book? What are the things that you need to do once you actually get into that location?
The first thing, take photos. Take photos before and after photos of a location. And, you know, guys, this is literally just your checks and balances. It covers you. It covers your crew. And it also is proof that you did what you said you were going to do, or things were how they were. So a before photo is wherever you're shooting, take pictures as is before you touch anything, so that you can use that as a reference to put it back after you've moved some things around. Mm-hmm. Then if any question comes up, like, hey, have you seen this? Or, hey, this is in place, you can reference your photos mm-hmm. and said, it was actually here once we wrapped and we placed it there. Easy. Anybody can do it.
Easy. That has been a lifesaver for me. When we get into a location and we know that, you know, my art directors, my DP, they are going to completely transform this before they touch anything. We need pictures of the location as it was the moment we set foot in there. And that is something that I send directly to the location owner as soon as we get there. I do a walkthrough. I take pictures of every single room. These are the before photos. You store them away, put them on a file on the cloud, make sure the location owner has them. That covers your bases, because that's also going to be your reference point. Once you wrap, you need to look at those photos to put everything back the exact way that you had it. It doesn't matter if you flip the couch upside down. It does not matter if the chairs were on the countertop. It does not matter. Whatever you do, you got a reference photo to put it exactly the way that it was. And you can also say, hey, where's that vase? Hey, where's that chair? Where's that pillow? We're missing this rug. You can always reference the photo and be like, wait a minute, something's gone.
I mean, and you know, like, we've all had sets, we invited people, we have crew, and, you know, there's so many people touching things, moving things around. If they need to sit down, they're moving a pillow. You can't track every little thing a person does while you shoot on set. So that's why it's like having those reference photos with day stamps, time stamps of before and after. It's so crucial, because your brain is going to be everywhere. And let me tell you, people get comfortable in Airbnb. They get comfortable in any setting where you're shooting in a house. I'm not going to lie to you. As long as there's a couch, somebody's sitting on it.
Someone is sitting.
You can say, guys, we have to shoot on this couch. And then I said it so many times, but somebody's going to sit on the couch. It's human nature to want to get comfortable.
Absolutely. That is so true. So always before and after pictures, that is mandatory. That is the first thing you do when you set foot on set. Another thing that you have to do after you book the Airbnb, you have to review the property rules and amenities and share that with the crew. I like to put that in my pre-production book. I'll give the pre-production book to the team. You know, it's got the call sheets, it's got the location information, it's got the catering menu, it's got all of that, crew, cast, contact info. But the location rules are very important. It's like, this is the Wi-Fi, this bathroom is for the set and for the shoot, the bathroom downstairs around the corner is for cast and crew, this is the holding area, no shoes on the carpet in the living room, like house rules. You're in somebody's house. You got to give those house rules to your team, because there might be 15, 20 people coming into this people's house.
Yeah.
Abide by those rules.
Yeah. And the thing I love about Airbnb is that it allows you to manage and coordinate your production based on the features that are on the website. And so these are little tiny things, but if you go onto your profile and you click on your booking, there's a little button on the left side that says details. It gives you all of the information about your stay from the time to check in and the time to check out. Yep. You can also add who's coming. And a lot of owners want to see who is going to be admitted to the space, the guests that you have, so that you can track all of the crew, talent, whatever, that's admitted into your space. You don't want any stranger danger, and you don't want any unfamiliar faces, because that can go crazy.
Yep.
On the same page, if you scroll down, you can get a PDF for visa purposes. If you're traveling, you can print the details, you can get a receipt, and you'll see a whole list of rules and instructions. I did a road trip up into, it was in 2019, my stay at Pierre Luc's. I will always recommend this guy. It was a house on a cliff. I don't know why I did it. My friend said I was crazy. But we loved the cliff. We knew that we wanted to shoot some proof of concept content that I was going to pitch.
Yeah.
So I was like, for many reasons, we have a house on a cliff. I have to be safe, one. Two, we were traveling up to a place where they spoke French in Canada.
Uh-huh.
So I had to look at the house manual, which he listed, and it's 1 to 2 pages all in French. And so I included that along with the rules, no pets, no party events, et cetera, into your production book that Zaina is talking about. But if you go on Airbnb, you can literally just have all the information on one easy interface that you can apply to your book. And yep. That's how you manage. That's why Airbnb is awesome.
Absolutely. You brought up such an incredible point. Like, Airbnb is so user-friendly for producers, for independent filmmakers. Like, there's actually a section, to your point, where you can list the names of every single person. So you have a headcount right there. And your location owner already knows who's going to be in the location right there. The house rules are a part of every booking. You can copy and paste that and put that into your pre-production book for your crew. So everybody's on the same page. It tells you rules about everything, checking in, checking out, no shoes, no pets, no parties, yada, yada, yada.
Wi-Fi password. If somebody keeps asking me for the Wi-Fi password as a director on set, I think I'm going to pull my hair out. It's in. Yep.
It's in the book. It's in the book. It's on Airbnb. It's all there. It's all listed. So that is something you always want to provide to your crew before you start shooting. And then lastly, we already talked about adding the location owner's place, adding the location to your COI, your certificate of insurance. Mm-hmm. But you need to provide the location owner with an actual location agreement. And we're going to put a template for a location agreement in the workbook for this episode on filming in an Airbnb. But it is basically an agreement that protects you and your film in every way possible pertaining to the location. It states that the location owner does not actually own rights to your film. That's mm-hmm. actually very important. Yes, they are letting you use the film, but they do not own the rights to your project at all whatsoever. These are two completely separate things, and you want to get that in writing. Also, it says, you know, that they are insured up to a certain amount according to the COI. It says the dates that you're going to be in and out of the location. Yes, that is on the Airbnb, but again, like, having a documentation for you and your records that protects you and your film. And then it also can say, like, what the location owner's credit will be. You know, I've given location owners actual, like, location manager credits or, like, location overseer credits in films, and they loved seeing that. You know, like, they could use that for IMDb or whatever they wanted to, but actually making them a part of the process while also identifying and making sure that it's clear that they don't own any part of your film. That is what the location document is for, the location agreement is for. And that is in addition to your certificate of insurance.
Yes, look at you looking out for the people. You know, this location insurance is so important and agreement is so important. I know people are thinking, but isn't that common sense? Like, I just shot at your place. You don't own, you know, common sense isn't that common. A lot of people don't know much about the film industry, one. And a lot of people are really excited. There are people that are going to be excited to be a part of something that you create, no matter where you go in life. So yes, having those agreements and outlining those responsibilities are super, super important, especially when you are booking and spending money on this thing.
100%. I've had location owners post on Facebook, like, I'm making a movie.
And you're not. Like, no.
You're not.
No, you need a house.
Location. We're using your house. There is a film crew here, but you are not making a movie. And again, they are excited, but it's like, hey, hold on.
Language. You know, like, what I mean? Like, you're not make. Like, I'm not saying, like, you didn't do anything, but, like, my good sir,
you were not.
You know how long this development process took? Did you write the script? No, but yeah. I think that with that being said, a little add on is, you know, now everybody aware of film and creating content. Now Airbnb is big. By the way, this episode is not sponsored by Airbnb. We just really love speaking about Airbnb. We love it so much. But Airbnb, if you're listening, hit us up. The one thing you can do is with the credits, you know, we see a lot of special thanks. You can do that, but what Zayn is saying, like, go a little before, above and beyond, because there are certain credits that actually are listed and eligible for IMDb credits, and you never know who you might help by saying location manager or saying, you know, location scout, whatever you want to do. Just try to see how you can sweeten the deal without adding more bucks to your budget.
Exactly. 100%. So we covered things that you should be doing before you book the Airbnb. We covered what you should do after you book. You know, those before and after photos are imperative. Reviewing those property rules and making sure that your team is fully aware of those property rules. And then also having that location agreement in place. But now let's talk about when you're checking out. You don't just walk out of the location. There's things that you have to do before you check out. So let's talk about those things before you check out of the Airbnb.
Please do, y'all. Let's do this conversation because, like, you know, some of y'all, I believe in you and I feel like you have house manners. But the rest of y'all just, like, leave and close the door and, like, there's trash. You leave your trash over. So, I mean, let's get you right.
Let's get you right. Pay attention. Please, please, please. Number one, reference your before photos to return everything back exactly how it was. I don't feel like we need to belabor this point. We talked about it. Just look at your before photos. Take after photos.
Yes.
And make sure you send those to the Airbnb owner so that they have the before and the after photos and they can look and say everything is returned exactly back to its original state. That is the first thing you do when you're checking out. Mm-hmm. Number two, Brittany brought this up. Take the trash out. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, people feel like, okay, we can return the, you know, the couch and the rug and the chairs back to normal, but there is trash everywhere.
Guys, I don't want to see any, and I know I'm talking to you like you're my children, but, like, come on. I want to work with most of all of you. And the water bottles can be hidden in different corners and places that you never knew they could be hidden. As you're closing the door, I will always find that one water bottle that wants to haunt me.
Yep.
Or that one paper plate, or that one fork, or pack of ketchup under the seat. Like, have many people have eyes on this? These are the little tiny things. But it's also one major requirement for all Airbnbs. They either have a designated bin inside the unit or they have a trash bin outside of the unit. You just have to double check to specify where you have to load your trash. But it's a requirement no matter where you go on locations that you take care of your own trash and you recycle.
Yes.
There might be a fee if you do not recycle.
Yes. And this is different from cleaning the location. Nobody's telling you that you have to scrub everything down. When you book an Airbnb, there is a cleaning fee that you pay for in the booking. So that's already being handled. But that is completely different from leaving trash everywhere. Just like Brittany said, the water bottles, the forks, the paper plates, the plastic, trash and recycle. That is the bare minimum.
Ugh, I'm traumatized. But I believe... Next.
It's like after a birthday party, like, there's stuff everywhere. If you have 15, 20 people in a space, there's just going to be things everywhere.
Yes, just we're literally a tornado. I've gotten that reference where, like, people say, it's like a tornado comes in. Yeah, we are the tornado.
Absolutely. You know,
as the filmmaker helming your production, you have to be the eye in the storm. So if your name is under the booking, you are responsible for to make sure everything goes well, from the trash and all that stuff. And then, let's say you did all that, there's another thing that you can do before you leave. Leave a gift, a thank you note, or a glowing review for this day. I always leave a review. No matter what, I always leave a thank you note or some type of gifts. You know, you can get a little creative with it. It depends on the type of person you are. Some owners that I've been through, they all have a guest book. Mm-hmm. And you can go through your guests and you can read it. So I like to write in their guest book. It's like a nice little thing. But also, I kind of like to just leave something that I found on the way, like something that I liked. I carry film, so I might take a film photo, Polaroid, shake it out, and say thank you and put it in the book so that they have photos of everybody. But it depends. It depends on what kind of gift giver you are. And I know, Zaina, you're a big gift giver. So how do you
I have left bottles of wine. I love the photo idea. Like crew photos. Like actual photos of like the entire crew, like a thank you photo with like from everyone. I love sending them the final film when it's done and just being like, this is what we did with your space. They love that. They absolutely love that. There's also props that we don't use. Like if there might just be a box of things that's like, hey, do you want any of this? And some location owners are like, yeah, like I'll keep it. There's just anything that you can do, again, like to thank somebody for welcoming you into their home. I think that's like the overall premise of this. It's like, yes, Airbnb is a business, but a lot of times people live in these spaces and they are much less expensive than booking a soundstage. When somebody says yes to you, when you book a Airbnb to film, they're saying yes to your vision. They believe in your project. They believe in you as an artist. And so, yeah, I love leaving gifts. Bottles of wine, Trader Joe's. They get them for very cheap. Target, nice Merlot, red wine, a card, box of chocolates, a little note, a photo, whatever it is, just to thank that location owner for trusting you with their place, I think is a really great way to continue to establish a rapport as a filmmaker. And they're going to remember that. For sure.
It's always, back to that note, leave things or people better than how you met them. And so a lot of Airbnb owners, a lot of homeowners, they're in this business of hospitality. Mm-hmm. And so that warm glow feeling to know that they were hospitable and they have made the best experience for you in their stay makes them feel empowered to keep being in the hospitality space. So how they decorated the space, everything they put into that space was done with intention. And so these little gifts show that you care and you appreciate and you acknowledge the attention that was put into their home. And so I'm really, really keen on this. In some other places where you go in international space and different cultures, what we like to do is scent that you leave behind is also important. So along with the trash and everything, just check to see what kind of scents or oils or diffusers they had going when you came in. And put those back and refresh them so that the scents go back to how it was. If there's incense, if there's sage, whatever. Make sure you clean the also spiritual aura of the space. For those of you who are doing content that's rooted in documentary or cultural preservation, space is a huge, huge point, a huge value in those countries. So I would say your gift in and of itself can be honoring the space after, no matter how you see fit.
I love that. You always conclude on the best points. You always like tie everything up with just such zen. And like, I love it. Don't forget, y'all, this workbook is going to not only have the rules for filming in an Airbnb before you book, after you book, and while checking out, but we'll also have the template for the location agreement. Those are things that you want to really stay on top of. We're excited to share those with you. And also don't forget, like, Airbnb is a resource to you. Go to airbnb.com and peruse. See what's available in your location, a couple miles away from your location, maybe in a completely different state. Really search and start scouting. Use that as a tool, because Brittany and I have done it numerous times and had a lot of successful films as a result. It's so worth it.
I've won a lot of work as a result of shooting in Airbnb. And as we're wrapping up, I will say some technical things, a little note for the gaffers out there. Make sure you check the wattage of the house. before you start plugging things in, because you can lead to complete, you know, electricity shutdown.
Absolutely.
And you have to do the breakers. So make sure you do all of those things where you check. In the workbooks, you can create your own location checklist.
Yep.
Even if you're filming an Airbnb or not, the workbooks will allow you to create your guide of the things that you need to do before and after you check out and shoot your film. Again, these workbooks are an added resource to these episodes, and you guys have been purchasing them, using them as you see fit, as we go into this new space of indie-centered filmmaking. These are going to be your tried-and-true Bibles.
Absolutely. So
if there's something that you like to see in some of these guides, if there's something you wanted to add, if there's anything that you use on your shoot, please tweet us.
Yes. That is such a great point. Like, we put a lot of effort and time into these workbooks, especially the bonus season workbooks, because we do a workbook per episode. I'm always excited about sharing the information. This one especially, because we get asked a lot. We get asked a lot about location templates, location agreements. So that is something that I'm very excited to put in this one. But to Brittany's point, again, if there's something else that you want to see in any of our workbooks, let us know. Hit us up, _microbudgetpod on Twitter or on X, or whatever it's called.
Bird app. Wait, is that, no, there's a bird app, the clock app.
We're on clock app, bird app, whatever it's called. Oh my God. This was an incredible episode though. Shout out to Airbnb again, not sponsored by Airbnb, but Airbnb is
we
listening.
Just love you.
We just love you so much. We're excited to get this out there to the world. We'll catch y'all on the next episode, which will be our final episode of 2023. And that one's going to be a juicy one. Stay tuned.